We're embarking on this new series for about 5 weeks on the book of Psalms. And you can't read the book of Psalms like any other book, either in the Bible or in the culture at large. And the reason is this. The reason is the book of Psalms is the hymn book of the ancient Hebrews. So it's poems put to music. Unfortunately, the music, we have no idea what it would have sounded like. It's been lost to the mist of history. But because it's the hymn book of the ancient Hebrews, each psalm takes on a different theme or a different emotion or a different understanding. The subject matter of the book of Psalms ranges from hope to faith to doubt to anger to pettiness to courage, to cowardice, pretty much any emotion that you can find in human history or in the human heart is found in the book of Psalms. And Psalm 1, whoever put the book of Psalms together and decided their order, put Psalm 1 at the beginning as an introduction to the 149 Psalms that would follow. And it is meant as an introduction. It's meant to get you started. It's meant to get you ready to pray. And there are two things going on that prepare you to pray in Psalm 1. The first thing is an action, and the second thing is an image. The action, telling you how to prepare to pray, is delighting in the law of God. It says in Psalm 1, verse 2, but the blessed person's delight is in the law of the Lord. And on God's law, he meditates day and night. Meditating on God's instruction, meditating on God's law day and night is the key way in which you are to prepare your heart for prayer. But unfortunately, in English, we don't really have a good sense of what the psalmist was writing about here, because the Hebrew word for law or teaching is Torah. And that word encompasses more than just the rules. Sometimes we talk about meditating on the law, that means the Ten Commandments, that means the book of Deuteronomy. But really, the Torah includes all of the Old Testament and all of the traditions that come out of it. The word actually, Torah, is related to the word javelin or spear. And I think this is intentional here. God's teaching is just not some bare set of facts like flashcards. Remember when you taught your kids multiplication tables and you used the flashcards, right? And you would hold them up and they would have to memorize them. That's not the way God's law works. It's not like a nursery rhyme that you teach to the kids and then they remember it and they can then go skip rope or something like that. But the instruction is like a javelin seeking its target. And his target is your heart. God's instruction, what you find in the Old Testament, is that there is something for you there to learn how to live in a godly fashion. So it's not just, oh, now I've memorized the threes times tables, now I can move on to the fours. But instead, you go back to the Bible again and again, you go back to the law and seek out instruction. You go back to it as personal instruction that finds a spot where it hits your human heart. And the bullseye is hit when you are reading the Bible and there is that moment which sometimes is a sigh of recognition and you say, oh yeah, I'm kind of like Joseph in the Old Testament, who was a little bit too proud about the coat that mom and dad gave him, this colored coat, and who went out and taunted his brothers and said, you know what, I got this coat, so I don't need to work as hard as the rest of you guys. Yeah, that's in my heart. That moment, I've had moments like that where I've been a little too proud in something that I have possessed or I have owned. Or the shock of recognition, where you say, oh my goodness, that kind of thing has happened to me. That moment where the light bulb goes off and it's not just a sigh of recognition, but rather a moment when you're shaken by what has happened. Where you look at the story of Abraham having three visitors come to visit his tent, and he shows hospitality to them, and then he only realizes later on that those three visitors are messengers from God. And how many of us have had perfectly normal interactions with people? Perfectly normal interactions that we thought were just day-to-day, going along, everything was going fine and swimmingly. And then 2 years later, you think of that interaction and you realize there was something holy in that moment. That person said something which made you realize that they were a messenger from God in that moment to you. That they were saying something that you would carry with you for years and years and years down the road. You see, when you see yourself within the pages of the Bible, when you see yourself in the moodiness of King Saul or in the imperfections of King David, or when you picture yourself healed as you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, then the Torah, the javelin of God's instruction, has hit your heart. So the Torah instruction is not fill in the blank or answering questions on Final Jeopardy or cramming for an exam or preparing a book report or thinking about God in a sort of offhand kind of way. But rather, where do I see myself in this story? Where do I see myself in God's Word? So that's the action, meditating on God's law, God's Torah, God's javelin, day and night until that javelin finds its home, its bullseye, again and again and again. So that's the action. But the second thing that happens in Psalm 1 is there's an image, this beautiful image of the tree standing by the water. And in Western Pennsylvania, that's not that big of a deal. You probably passed hundreds of trees on your way to come into church this morning. But in the Judean desert, a big tree, a remarkable tree by a stream of water in a flat, featureless, craggy, rocky desert where the soil is not all that great, where planting is a fight against Mother Nature. A majestic tree is something to be noted and celebrated and remembered because A, that means there's a water source there, B, there's shade, C, there might be fruit there depending on the kind of tree, and that tree has persevered against all odds. Where a tree has fought up through the crevices in the rock, standing up and straining against gravity and drought, against predators, against animals seeking moisture from the leaves or from the fresh shoots or roots. A marvelous tree in Judea, in Israel, is improbable, and the odds are against it. Whoever wrote Psalm 1 says our faith is like that tree, that prayer is like that tree. When we think we need to have the right conditions to pray, when we think we've got to have the right proper frame of mind, this tree teaches us that no, you pray where you are planted. The proper conditions don't come into it. We think this all the time. Clergy sometimes are guilty of giving this impression. I'm not quite sure why. We think that we can't pray if we're angry or anxious or worried. To many people, possibly the worst possible moment to be able to say a prayer is the moment that Jennifer and I found a couple weeks ago at summer camp, when all of a sudden all the parents bring their kids, and then you have 17 third and fourth grade kids running around you asking questions, homesick, who are out of their minds on sugar, and they've been in the car all day, and they are ready to rumble with you. And that is the absolute worst moment to say a prayer, right? There is no preparation for that. There is no seminary class that they will teach you. There is nothing that they will teach you at the Penn West Academy to get ready for that. But you say the prayer anyway, don't you, Donna? You say that prayer anyway because that's the right moment to pray, whether you're ready for it or not. They ain't going to wait. They're not going to say, oh, hold on, get yourself together. Don't worry, we'll be over here doing our 17, third, and fourth grade things, whatever it is. You just get ready to get in the right mood to pray. That's not how it works at all. You pray where you're planted. You pray where you're planted. And Psalm 1 says, Prayer is always at the right spot. Prayer is always at the right spot. Put down roots right here and right now, because that is the right place to pray. That is the right place to pray. Here is the right place to pray. So the action that Psalm 1 wants you to take is meditation on that javelin. Find out where that bullseye is in your heart out of the Bible. And the image is the tree. So the question then becomes, how can you put down roots? How can you or I make Psalm 1 happen going forward? If this is indeed a book, a psalm rather, that is the introduction for the rest of the book, it must expect you to do something, right? It must prepare you to do something. Well, the challenge is to follow through the book of Psalms. The challenge is to read through these psalms and to say, yeah, I'm going to pray right here. Whatever mood I am in, whatever emotion rises up from within these words, wherever I am going to pray, no matter what the soil looks like. No matter if I think I'm right next to that stream or if I am planted 5 miles from it. So we put down roots. And that would be my challenge to you as we read through the book of Psalms in August. There's 150 of them. If you read 5 a day, you'll be through the book of Psalms in a month. Or, since it's not a race, read slower, take your time. There's no magic about ending up at the end of the book of Psalms by the end of August. Just take it, open it up, and see where it is that the bullseye finds your heart. Maybe it'll be good for some people, since people are all different. Some people like that sense of accomplishment, reading 5 psalms a day, 3 in the morning and 2 at night, and saying, yeah, that's really great. I got through so many psalms. For other people, that might drive them crazy because they're like, well, you know, that's a little ambitious. I ain't there yet. But try this maybe for some people. Read a psalm in the morning and then go back to that same psalm at night and ask yourself, did anything happen to me today that makes me look at that psalm differently 12 hours later? It's a remarkable thing. You will find all sorts of workings of the Holy Spirit if you do this. I guarantee it. You will find things that you never thought were possible. You read the psalm in the morning, you think, well, that doesn't seem to have much to say to me today. Read it 12 hours later at night before you go to bed and see what God has shown you there. In other words, where did the javelin of God's teaching pierce my heart and hit my target today? So I encourage you to take this journey with me today, this journey with me this month, to plant yourself. Wherever you are is the right place to pray. And whatever you feel is the right emotion to bring to God. So I pray today, my prayer for you is that you may be blessed through God's instruction, through God's Torah this month, and that you may indeed be like a tree planted by the water. Amen.